And welcome all of you as well who are joining us online. It's great to have you with us as we share in our worship in this fourth Sunday of Lent. And also, of course, today is Mothering Sunday. You will see at the front here we have a whole lot of wonderful little posies that have been done. And in these little jars have all been put together by the children of Junior Youth Club. They've spent the last two or three Tuesday evenings putting these together, and then the flower team have put some posies in them. And so my invitation to all of you is to, well, certainly for all of the ladies to take one at the end of this service, but also, even if you're not a lady, it doesn't matter, still take one, and maybe you can just bless somebody with it. But please take them after the service. This morning is an occasion where we want to really salute women everywhere, whether you are a mother or not, and give thanks to all that they do. And talking of women and wonderful ladies, Margaret Gore is going to come and share our Lent reflection with us. And then when Margaret's done that, I'll invite Sarah and Graham to lead us in worship. Thank you, Margaret.
For our Lenten journey this year, we're exploring different aspects of the Passion narrative. On this fourth Sunday in Lent, we recall that even though he loved them and was giving his life for them, those closest to him deserted him, denied him, and betrayed him. We read from Mark's Gospel. Judas, one of the 12, arrived with swords and clubs. Then all his disciples deserted him and ran away. Peter swore, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know this man." We place a dagger at the foot of the cross to remember that despite Jesus loving with endless love, his friends stabbed him in the back and left him alone to die. And now our prayer. God of endless love, you love us even though we so often turn from you, ignore you, deny you, and desert you. Thank you that you love us anyway, and always will. Amen.
Is enough, more than I need. At your word I will believe. I wait for you, draw near again. Let your spirit make me new, and I will fall at your feet.
I will fall at your feet. I will fall. Where all the love blood comes flowing down.
At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you.
Let's pray. God, it is so good to come to this place today to meet with you. We are in awe of you, as we've just been singing, because you are such an amazing and wonderful God. And so we come with our hearts full of praise and adoration for all you do, for all your love for us. God, you astound us with your beauty, which we see all around us. You thrill us with your majesty, with your creativity, and you captivate us with your love. God, you are so good, and we want to say right now that we're so thankful for the way that you hold us and sustain us and carry us. Thank you for this relationship that we can know with you, all because Jesus went to the cross and rose again to restore us to a life that we would never have known possible without you. It's good to be here as your family, your church. We join as one people, one body, whether we're here physically or whether we're online. We are your family and we thank you. But God, whilst we come full of thanks and praise, we're also aware of our own unworthiness, of our own inclination to go our own way. Oh, we know there's been so many times where we've lived outside of your love, neglected your grace for us. So God, once more in your mercy and your love, will you forgive us our sins? Everything we've done or said or thought that has not been of you. But Lord, we hear your gracious words that our sins are forgiven. May we know your presence with us here today. May we encounter you in this time. Open our eyes to behold you and set our hearts on fire with love for you. For we offer you all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I've asked Morgan if he can come and just spend just 3 or 4 minutes with us sharing some of the good things, if you like, that are going on with what the things that he's involved in right now. So, Morgan, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. I'm only going to share a couple of things today, simply because Tim's only given me 3 minutes, and we all know how tight Tim is with his timings. So the two things that will be of interest is the UCC prayer space. This has been running over the last 2 weeks now. We had our final day on Friday, and it has been amazing. It's been my first one there, and I know PJ spoke about it a bit in the service last week, but it's nearly brought me to tears every single time I've been there. Some of the stuff that these young people are coming to school with, that they're carrying around in their heart, these questions, these worries, and what they're willing to write down as a prayer and place at these different stations, it's just been amazing. So I'm just so thankful for God that opportunity has come to restore relationships with the school, and we're hoping to continue with the amazing work that is going on there, and hopefully get another prayer space in this time next year, maybe one in the summer, an outdoor one, a smaller one, but also just to continue the work with the school, not just for the students, but for the teachers and the full staff as well, just to support the school in general. I think that's really needed at the moment. This is something that this prayer space has highlighted. And so it'll be really good to get back in there and start work again as a chaplaincy team. So I just ask that you hold that in your prayers, hold all the students in your prayers, all the teachers in your prayers, and just hold the communications that we have with the school as well, the relationship that we're building with the school once again. Just hold that development in your prayers, please. Thank you. And then finally, the last kind of highlight or big thing that will be coming up is Holiday Club is back. Holiday Club 2022 has official dates in the diary. It will be the 1st of August to the 5th of August. And I am terrified. this will be a really, really big, big organisation, big task for us. But I'm so excited that we've got it in the diary again. After nearly three years of it not being on, we were able to put on a week-long event again for the primary school kids that we know. We'll book out this entire place, and it will be a week of mayhem and chaos, but in a good way. And so that'll be really good fun. I'm really excited. So that is something else that you can hold in your prayers for me, if that's okay. Just the organization of that it all runs smoothly. And if you're willing to get involved in any way, even if it's just for a day or two, let me know. It'd be really good to have some volunteers come forward, come along to help us out. But yeah, I'm really excited. Holiday Club 2022, 1st to the 5th of August. that's really exciting. So that's it from me. There's so much more coming on, but like I said, I think I'm on 2 minutes and 50 seconds now. So just continue to hold the work of God and what God is doing in this place. There is some amazing, amazing things happening, and this is a time that we can get excited. Spring is coming, and it is so exciting. So exciting to see what God is doing in this church and in this community. So just keep praying and get excited. God wants us to be excited for what is going on. So let's get excited. Thank you.
Thank you, Morgan. Yes, it is amazing, all the things that where God is at work in this place. Morgan, bless him, is off for a few days' holiday straight after this service, just to sort of get energized before he has to hold the fort for 3 months when I'm away on sabbatical. So, Morgan, have a great holiday and a great few days' rest. We're going to sing again now, but as we sing, we're also going to take up our offering. This is a really important part of the service. It's not something that we just do just because, we have to do it, and let's just do it while the hymn's on, shall we? This is a time when we're able to financially offer to God and contribute to all of those things that Morgan's been talking about, what the great things that God is doing in this place. All of the money we receive, we need money to obviously be able to build God's kingdom. So if you're able to, please do give. The bowls will come. If you can't, that's absolutely fine. If you're online, I'm not quite sure how we do that through the airwaves at the moment, but I'm sure you can find some way of doing it. But we're going to sing a hymn now, and it is number, this is a lovely hymn, 355, if you're following from the books, but the words will be on there. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. So please stand as you're able as we take up our offering and as we sing. Thank you, Gareth. Our God, we just thank you for all of the blessings that we have in you, all of the gifts that you give us and you keep on giving us. Thank you, God, for your generous love and giving nature. Now we offer you these gifts of money. And we pray, Lord, that you would use them to build your kingdom. Use them so that others may get to experience and encounter and know your amazing love for themselves. For we offer them all and we offer ourselves to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Morgan has put a little idea in my mind now. I am tempted to sort of become like is it a steeplechase they call it when the horses jump over the hurdles and stuff? I don't know. I don't know anything about horse racing. But Margaret is going to come and read to us now from Mark's Gospel. Thank you, Margaret.
Passion in betrayal. Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then everyone deserted him and fled. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out into the entrance. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing round them, "This fellow is one of them," and again he denied it. After a little while, those standing near Peter said to Peter, "Surely you are the one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately the cock crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept.
Thank you, Margaret. I wonder how many of you have seen that very serious, dark film drama that was released a couple of years ago. Its name was Paddington 2. If you have, you will recall that part of the plot goes like this. One night, Paddington is looking through the window of Gruber's antique shop at a pop-up book that he wants to buy for his Aunt Lucy. He spots a man breaking into the store who steals the pop-up book and flees. Paddington is wrongly arrested and subsequently convicted of being the thief. And then he's sentenced to 10 years in prison. In the prison, he thinks he's been abandoned by his family who don't come to see him on visiting day. And his new friends that he makes in the prison convince Paddington to help them escape on the agreement that they will then help him track down the real thief when they break free and to prove Paddington's innocence. The breakout is successful, but Paddington's new friends let him down and abandon him, fleeing the country instead of coming to his aid. It's a common plot in films, isn't it? The good guy gets convicted for something that he didn't do, and his friends abandon him to his fate, leaving him all alone. wrongful blame and penalty, followed by abandonment and the lonely pursuit of proving your innocence. And you know there are similar themes going on all through the passion narrative of Jesus. He's a man falsely accused of crimes that he didn't commit, sentenced and punished and abandoned by his friends. His betrayal by them is what we are considering in this, our fourth in our Lent exploration of the passion of Jesus. So let's think about what happened to Jesus. He'd been with his disciples and friends for over 3 years. In those years, he must have got pretty close to them. They'd travelled together. They'd gone out into the villages and towns proclaiming the kingdom of God. They'd eaten together, slept together, laughed and cried together. Those close disciples, his followers, had seen Jesus heal the sick, cast out demons, walk on water, calm storms, feed 5,000 people with a small picnic, even raise the dead. They'd seen him transfigured on a mountain, heard God declare that this was his beloved son, and he then told them that just as the Father loved him, so he loved them. He'd said there was no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. And that's what he was about to do for them. And Jesus trusted these friends. He'd loved them and cared for them, anointed them and empowered them. He'd washed their feet and told them to abide in him and he would abide in them. He said that they had not chosen him, but he had chosen them. He said he'd be with them always. And they'd reclined with him at a table as he told them that his body would be broken and his blood poured out for them. They declared undying loyalty to him. Peter had said that even if everybody else fell away, he never would. And then, just when Jesus needed them most, just as he reached his hour of need, one by one they all let him down and turned their backs on him. As we explored last week with PJ, when he prayed the night before he died, they couldn't even stay awake with him. Judas betrayed him with a kiss and gave him over to the Jewish authorities. Peter denied he ever knew him, not once but 3 times. The rest of them ran away, they fled in terror and fear. And Jesus was alone. No one was there to support or to stand with or to defend him. It wasn't just Judas who had betrayed Jesus. It was everyone. Even his own mother and the woman who'd anointed him with perfume and the disciple John, the one who they said that Jesus loved. Even they followed only from a distance, too far away to be of any comfort to him just when he needed them most. How must that have felt for Jesus? What emotions would he be going through? What feelings of rejection and abandonment must he have experienced? You can't even begin to imagine it, can you? I wonder if that, any of that, strikes a chord with the experience of any of you as you sit here today or as you watch from home. Does it feel close to home? Have there been times, I wonder, when you have felt abandoned or let down? Perhaps you know what it is to feel betrayed. Times when your closest friends, your lovers, partners, family have let you down. Times when you found yourself all alone in a bad, dark place, with no one to turn to or to hold on to or to trust or to cry with. You know, many of us have fair weather friends, don't we? People who are happy to be around when everything's fine. But when the chips are down, when you've been going through your bleakest moments, when you most needed the support and help and comfort of others, there was no one there. And if that's you this morning, then let me tell you that you stand in good company. Because even Jesus, God's Son, went through it. Perhaps he's the only one who can truly empathize with you, because he really does know what you mean. He's been through the same. In the end, he would even cry out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Yes, he knew what it was to be truly all alone. Isaiah says this about him: "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care." Yes, he knows how you feel. He's been there too. Well, let me ask you a different question. I wonder if you have ever been like one of those disciples, like Peter or Judas or any of the others. Have you ever let anyone else down? Have you betrayed a friend or run away when the going got tough? Have you fled and followed at a distance or denied what you knew to be true and right? Have you not been there when someone needed you the most? Perhaps you were too busy or too scared, or you didn't want to get involved. You didn't need the pressure or the hassle or the grief. You had your own life to think about. Maybe you've been like that with God. You know, it's easy to worship and pledge loyalty, isn't it, in a place like this here today. But when you're with your friends or at work or with your partner, how easy is it to deny you even know this Jesus? To be silent as others rail their accusations? Well, if that's you, then you too stand in good company. And not only those disciples that we've considered, the Bible is full of people just like us who failed to be the people that they should have been. Joseph's brothers betrayed him. Jonathan abandoned David. Jeremiah was alienated by his wife and family and hated by society. Jonah and Elijah ran away from God. Paul was deserted by his friends. You know, this, my friends, is unfortunately part of being human. It's built into our DNA. We all do it. We all hurt those we love the most and those who love us the most. We're never the people that we should be. We know we all fail. We all fall down. We all run away. We're weak or unwilling or too scared or too easily led astray. Abandonment comes easy to us. Betrayal is part of our nature. And I'm also aware, we've already said, that today is Mothering Sunday. We're not covering it as we often do because we were keen to do this series. But those of you who are mums here today will know that your kids often never get it right either. They're not perfect or without fault. They get it wrong too. You experience that as a mother. They can hurt you as well as give you joy. It's just the way kids are. It's just the way we all are. And this day, Mothering Sunday, you know, it's such a difficult day for so many. Those who have lost the mother they loved. Those who never knew a mother's love. Those who have lost a child. Those who would love the chance to be a mother, but it's never worked out. And those who are mothers, but find your relationship with your children really, really difficult. Or those who find your relationship with your mums challenging. You see, maybe like Jesus, you too know agony and abandonment in a very real way today. Like Jesus, you often feel all alone in the way that things are for you. You know what I love about this story of the Passion of Jesus? It's real. It's not like the films. The friends don't come good in the end like they do in Paddington 2. Judas ends up taking his own life. Peter doesn't go back to the people and say, "Actually, I do know him, I was only kidding." The disciples who ran away don't come back. But here's what does happen next. The murderer Barabbas is set free and Jesus dies in his place. Jesus goes to the cross and he prays, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do. He says to that other criminal crucified with him, today you will be with me in paradise. He sees his mother and the disciple he loves in the distance, and he asks them to be family to one another, to care for each other. He meets Mary in a garden, tenderly calls her name and embraces her. He appears to those disciples who abandon him, and he shows them the nail marks in his hands and his feet and the spear in his side, where it was that he died for them. He meets his friend on a beach, and he cooks breakfast for them, and he sends them out to serve him and witness to his love. You see, with Jesus, what we do, how we are, how we shape up, it doesn't matter. It never, ever did. You see, with God, there is always forgiveness and acceptance and restoration, because that's what grace looks like for us. That's what love looks like. Those of you who are mums today know a little of that sort of love, I'm sure. When your children let you down and get it wrong, you love them anyway. You never stopped loving them because they're your children. And that's what God does for us time and time again. No matter what we've done or how many times we screw up. Those classic films I started talking about, the ones with the motifs of wrongful blame and punishment, abandonment and the loneliness of pursuing innocence. There's one more word that usually comes into those narratives, and it's the word redemption. And you know, the word comes into this story too. But it's not the redemption of the victim, Jesus. No, he will die a lonely death. It's the redemption not for him, but for us. You see, that's the whole reason, isn't it, that Jesus died. That's why God came as one of us. It was to redeem us, to bring us back to the relationship with God that God always planned for us to know from the very start. It was to redeem us from our guilt and our mistakes and our getting things wrong and our being alone. Friends, the one thing that I want you to get from this message today, if you get nothing else at all, is this. Redemption is part of the passion story, yes, but it's also part of your story. Because in the passion of Jesus, God takes the very worst things, betrayal, suffering, denial, abandonment, even death, and he turns it into the very best thing. The redemption of the world. Your own redemption. You may well have had people who have abandoned you. You too have been left all alone. On that dark night, there was no one there for you. Today, God wants you to know his redemption. God has always been there for you, and he always will be. You are his child and dear and precious to him. Maybe you've let other people down. There are those who feel guilty for not sticking up for, not being there for, not supporting or loving. Maybe you feel that's how you've been with God. Today, God wants you to know his redemption. Jesus died to cleanse you, to free you. You are valued. You are loved. And for those of you for whom Mothering Sunday is a despair, today, may you too know redemption, because you too are loved and cared for and held by the God who died to redeem you to his closest embrace for now and for all eternity. We worship a God who knew wrongful blame and punishment, who experienced abandonment and betrayal, who felt the loneliness of innocence, but went through all of that so we could be redeemed. May you know it for yourself today. Amen. I'm going to invite Sarah and Graham to come and play a song. This is not a song I necessarily expect you to join in with, although if you'd like to, obviously you can. I suspect the words will be on the screen. But perhaps you might want to, maybe we'll stay seated and we'll just listen and sing if you'd like to, but just be with your own thoughts, and as the song plays, may you know the love of God, the grace of God, the redemption of God, not just as a sort of like intellectual belief in your head, but may you know it coming to you and redeeming you and being there for you as they sing. Thank you.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's healed, where your blood was spilled for my ransom. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Tempted and tried, human. The Word became flesh, bore my sin and death. Now you're risen. Everything I once held dear, to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you.
When we look at Peter and his relationship with Jesus in the events leading up to Jesus' crucifixion, Peter seemed to sink to his lowest point when he denied even knowing Jesus. But look a few chapters later at a life which was to be transformed when the resurrected Jesus looked him in the eye and spoke. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Jesus did not cast aside Peter, even though he had denied him three times. We thank you, Father, that even though we may fail or think we disappoint you, you look us in the eye with the same love and grace and say, "You are mine." Give praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Those blessings come from the heavenly world. They belong to us because we belong to Christ. God chose us to belong to Christ even before the world was created. He chose us to be holy and without blame in his eyes. He loved us, so he decided long ago to adopt us. He adopted us as his children with all the rights children have. He did it because of what Jesus Christ had done. It pleased God to do all those things and bring praise to his glorious grace. God freely gave us his grace because of the one he loves. We've been set free because of what Christ has done. Because he bled and died for our sins, we have been forgiven. We've been set free because God's grace is so rich. He poured his grace on us by giving us great wisdom and understanding. He showed us the mystery of his plan. It was in keeping with what he wanted to do. It was what he had planned through Christ. And we remember today our mothers. God has given us mothers to carry us, raise us, teach us, and mold us into godly people. Of course, no mother is perfect, and not everyone grew up with a loving mother. But to every mother out there, from the one who feels she was born for such a task to the one who struggles with the responsibility, we pray blessing today and for the days, weeks, and years to come. We pray too for those who may not have brought us into this world, but by choice became our physical or spiritual mums and took on that same responsibility to love and care for us. May they be richly blessed too. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the light of the world, guiding our steps on your path. Your word says that you are a good father who gives us good gifts. Thank you for the gift of the church, a community of your people that you have gathered together to worship, serve, pray, and love. Give us strength to live as ambassadors for you in this world. Lord, bless your church and keep us pure. Make your face shine upon us. Turn your face towards us and give us peace. And Lord, I thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us. You have promised us that you are watching over us and that you will heal us. You have said that you will bring guidance and restore comfort to those in anguish or suffering. Thank you that your presence is always near and your ear is ready to hear our prayers. And Lord, you are able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or imagine. So Lord, we lift up to you now those among us and those we know who need a touch of healing right now. By your Spirit, move upon them with your healing and bring peace. And loving God, we pray for the people of Ukraine, for all those suffering or afraid, that you will be close to them and protect them. We pray for world leaders, for compassion, strength, and wisdom to guide their choices. We pray for the world that in this moment of crisis, we may reach out in love and solidarity to those in need. May those in authority over us look to you and walk in your ways so that peace and justice become a reality for the people of Ukraine and for the wider region. And let us all join together in the prayer that Jesus gave us. Whether you use these words or your own, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And finally for us all, may the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face, the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen.
He said, oh, I'll learn it. So that was wonderful. Thank you. We're going to sing our final hymn now. If you're following from the book, it's number 94. It's a well-known one that we all know and love. To God be the glory. And the words of the third verse, the second verse, say this, what we've been talking about. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God. The very offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. So please stand as you're able as we sing. Thank you.
Can I just say a couple of things? If any of you maybe have got some concerns or things that are troubling you as a result of any of the things that we've been considering today, then do, please, there are some people who are very willing to chat with you, to pray with you. There's Lucy, there's David, there's Karen, there's Ange. They'll stay for a few minutes in this sanctuary here if you'd like to chat to them or pray with them. Please do take a jar with you and be blessed by it, or bless somebody else with it. That would be fabulous. And do join us for tea and coffee, which will be through this door here and then to the left. That would be great to have your company. Let's pray. God, as we go into this week, may we know your redeeming love that just takes us and draws us to yourself and declares us not guilty, that forgives us and cleanses us. May we know your life in all its fullness. And now to God the Father, who loved us and sent his Son to redeem us to him. To God the Son, to Jesus, who loved us and died for us and stands in solidarity with us. To God the Holy Spirit, who fills us with the love of God in our hearts. To the one and only true God, be all love and all glory for all time and eternity. May the blessing of God go with us all. Amen.